chemical weapons.
You're listening to Cinema Recon.
Hello and welcome to Cinema Recon for March 16th, 2014. That is the date today.
Of the future.
Exactly. And we are here to talk to you about movies. Today's episode is brought to you by the letter I. I wish I didn't watch today's movie. Exactly. So I am Paul.
Is this where I say my thing?
I was going to wait for you.
What's up? I'm Jake.
And we are here as Cinema Recon to
with our powers combined.
We put our rings together and we will entertain you with our superpowers for the next hour and
for the next
3 hours.
9.5 hours.
No, I promise it won't be a 3 hour episode this time. We say that now. Yeah. But it's, you know, this episode is only as long as your imagination. How many beers are in Jake's fridge?
And the storage capacity of
your uterus.
Storage? How much podcast can you fit in your uterus?
Once again, Cinema Recon classes it up in its first 5 minutes. We have a great show for you.
We do not condone...
Uterize aside.
We do not condone storing this in your uterus.
No, that would be bad, unless you're a professional.
Only one of us is a doctor.
We'll let you guess who. We saw 300, Rise of an Empire, today, and in fact, we just got back from watching it.
Just right now.
Like, literally, a second ago.
Not literally a second.
I know, that's not quite literal. We'll talk to you.
It's
we'll
like
give
10
you our,
seconds.
We'll talk at you.
We'll talk at your face.
With 300, our review, our thoughts, our feelings, our depression aside, and we will go on to talk about what is in the movie news. As per usual.
And to add a new little twist to our show, we'll try to do it in 300 words or less.
I think we've exceeded that. I think, yeah, much like the sequel, we've gone on far too long.
Much like the sequel, nobody ever asked for this
and
at
nobody
all.
Nobody wants it.
But we'll give it to you.
Now you have it. Much like the sequel. Exactly. So, Jake, how are things going?
What's up?
Yeah.
That's good.
We're out here in San Ramon, sunny San Ramon.
Oh, it's like 80 degrees this weekend. It's beautiful.
It is.
Beautiful weather gorgeous. In California.
I love how it gets lighter later now.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, that's magic.
I made that happen.
Magical. Well, he just keeps all his lights on in his house. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, daylight saving times. That's kind of weird.
Hooray.
Have you ever like researched the history of it and everything? It's like a long...
agriculture, right? It's all farmers.
There's like a lot going on. It's very weird.
Well, Gandalf, when he first went to the Shire, I'm pretty sure it started then.
Well, Gargamel cast a spell over all the lands.
Exactly. And then Boba Fett got kicked into the Sarlacc pit. Right. And then you have daylight savings time.
Yeah. It's basically you're right. That's a very storied past. I think they thought it would save energy somehow.
Yeah.
Productivity.
It really does have to do with, like, farmers and agriculture.
Yeah, but I read it really has no effect on anything. And it's pretty stupid.
Really?
It's pretty stupid that
Do you think it'll ever get phased out?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. Well, I think it'll get phased out once we develop time travel.
Well, once we develop ways to have lighting when the sun goes down.
Right. Right. Once we all live under the dome.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's what's new with me is daylight savings.
apparently you don't know.
Apparently you don't know. Nothing, just doing wedding stuff. The big W is coming up.
Oh, we're so sick of hearing about get married already.
So I got that.
Yeah, congratulations. Early congratulations to you. Way to go.
Early congratulations.
Early congratulatory.
I've been telling you this forever.
You. I just found out about the wedding today, which is weird because I'm the best man.
And we went and got fitted for our tuxes this morning.
Yeah, we did. That's right. We did. I bought like 10 shirts.
You did buy 10 shirts. Well, I was almost as if you walked into a store that you've never seen a long sleeve shirt before, and you were just like, you were just going out of your mind, like, well, oh my God, this one's blue and this one's red.
Kmart has such great deals.
Well, what are you gonna do?
I really couldn't pass that up. Thank
you. Buy one, get nine free.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for getting us suited up at Kmart, by the way.
Hey, whatever. Whatever I can do to save your cheap ass some money.
Jake's entire wedding will cost $19.95. He had to forego a month of. Oh, now I can't think of it.
joke ruined by bad memory.
I know. He had to forego a month of Spotify, was what I was getting at.
I just shipped my pants.
Shifted in my pants.
I just shipped my tux.
Yeah, that was fun. So let me talk to you about what's going on with me.
Nah.
I went and got fitted for a suit. I'm in San Ramon. And I just had daylight savings time happen to me.
Oh, you too?
Yeah, it just happened to me. Yeah, and that's pretty much the end of my entire life. Yeah, I think I can hear your dog whimpering over here because we
hated 300 too.
It's either that or he's really offended by our history of daylight savings
he's
time.
He's like, I know the answer.
He's got to
pick me. Tucker.
Yeah, I think he wants out.
No, he's good.
Okay, well, Tucker, he looked right at me when I said that.
Well, that's his name.
I got nothing.
It makes perfect sense that would happen.
Usually when I say Jake, you walk out of the room.
Oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to go out. He just took a dump in your backpack.
Oh, that's right. Well, joke's on him. I did too.
That doesn't even apply.
But still, joke is on him.
Joke's on him. I was here first.
Stupid dog. Anyway, now that I've admitted to that. Yeah, things are good. So, we got you want to dive right into 300?
Yeah, I guess.
what else can we do?
Unless our audience wants to hear more about daylight savings time.
Well, seeing as how we do get paid per word we say. secrets
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we can rattle it off. Yeah, start off with the 300. Make sure, Go communicate with us via Facebook, via Twitter, via Gmail.
I always forget that.
Via...
I'm so out of touch.
Wasn't there one more?
Pinterest.
Pinterest. Like our Pinterest... Is it a page?
We should have a Pinterest page.
You should just have like seven things on it. And they're just all sandwiches?
It's the same picture. It's just a picture of a sandwich 300 times. That would be a good Pinterest page. That would be better than my current Pinterest page.
Yeah, which is just a bunch of shirtless dudes.
Which is holding sandwiches.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. Email, Facebook, Twitter. Twitter was the other one.
I think I said Twitter.
Did you say carrier pigeon?
No.
We made that joke before.
How do they send us their pigeons or we send them our pigeons?
I prefer a raven, actually. Yeah. No,
I'll have my pigeon call your pigeon.
So yeah, let us know. Let us give us recommend the next terrible movie that we should go see. Thanks. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Thanks a lot, Hollywood.
Appreciate it. he's so sad.
I don't know what his problem is.
Well, his problem is I'm about to say the title of the movie we saw. 300.
He probably wants out of the house because he doesn't want to listen to us talk about 300.
He's like,
not because he has to go to the bathroom.
He's like, I already saw it, guys. I loved it. You guys are just going to shit all over it. I'm a talking dog.
Well, joke's on you. I already shit all over it.
Joke's on you. Poop in a backpack.
Joke's on, I can't wait for him to look at his backpack.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking, I can't wait for him to try to take a dump in my backpack because I already took a dump in my backpack. It's a standoff.
Nobody wins.
Nobody wins in that kind of standoff. Especially the people riding BART with me on the way home. So I'll jump right through. The title of the movie that we saw... Much to your fortune and not ours, 300, Rise of an Empire. It was released March 7th, 2014, and it's rated R. Running time of 1 hour and 43 minutes.
But
and
it felt like an eternity.
It felt like an hour and 47 minutes at least. And would you care to guess the Rotten Tomato rating?
Yeah, reader? But I cheated. I think it's somewhere like 46% or something.
You're ruining my game. But still, you're wrong. It's 42%, actually.
You're ruining my game. Nope, it's 100%.
But I still win, somehow. 42% is where Lena Headley and crew sit.
Man.
On the RT.
Those are some favorable critics.
Man, that is 10% higher than Terminator Salvation. Yeah, the studio that brought this to us and Tucker, Warner Brothers Studios, and the director, this is what I was talking about before we started the show. I'm never going to pronounce this correctly. Nomura. Muro.
How about you don't pronounce now, that Nomura?
Now, not gonna work here. Naum Muro, who directed the film, the only other film he directed, I believe, is Smart People.
I don't,
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not something that we ever saw.
Naum Muro.
Yeah, you really, you're seeing it now too. I'm not. It's not just
now.
Me.
Noam.
There's
it's
like a
N O A M. Naum.
There's a seven in there somewhere. Oh, that was a typo. Never mind. That was
my
fault.
That was a typo. It was supposed to be a six. Oh. I always hit the six when I'm...
This stars Sullivan Stapleton, Eva Green, and...
Whose name is Sullivan Stapleton?
Sullivan
Come on
Stapleton.
Now.
I'm here to deliver milk. I feel like he's a milkman.
Really? Because I was going to say he as like a Harvard professor. That's
no.
too completely...
No, I picture someone out of the 50s or something. Like, I figure he's going to bring me grain. I don't know why
is
people.
Is he a milk?
I
don't know why people. He's a milkman.
Basically, I'm pretty sure he deals in groceries.
I can provide any sort of grocery. I deal in commodities.
Thank goodness Sullivan Stapleton's here. Yeah. So, no, I don't know who names their kid Sullivan Stapleton. Maybe the Stapletons.
maybe Bradley and Leslie Stapleton.
Yeah, possibly. We'll never know.
We'll name him Sullivan. And he will be a fine Stapleton. He will provide groceries as far as the eye can see.
So it is written by some guy doing a podcast 50 years from now. The synopsis of the film 300, as pulled right off of IMDb, Greek general Themistocles.
I was really trying to figure out how to pronounce his name.
Themistocles.
Themistocles.
Themistocles, gluten-free.
Low-carb, gluten-free Themistocles.
Mutagen, man. Anyway, that guy leads the charge against invading Persian forces led by mortal-turned god Xerxes and Artemisia, vengeful commander of the Persian navy.
The oracle's words stand as a warning. Sparta will fall. All of Greece will fall. And only stout wooden ships can save them. Wooden ships. And a tidal wave of heroes' blood. Only the gods can defeat the Greeks. You.
Today we will dance across the backs of dead Greeks.
She has sold her soul to death himself. She's going to bring all of her with her.
Bum, bum, bum.
300.
Again.
300.
Dun, dun, dun. 300. What if it had like a bubblegum commercial sound? Like
with Mentos freshened for your gums.
300.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, because that'd be awesome, because then it'd be as long as a commercial.
if we were only so lucky.
Mm. So here we have... We've been very fortunate for a while now.
We didn't have to see this
movie. We've lived our lives to this point. And then we had to watch 300 Rise of an Empire. We just got through with Oscar season.
We did.
And we've been exposed to quite a few.
Oh, I've been exposed.
Amazing. We've had genitalias of movies shown to us. From a lot of really, really good movies have come out and we've kind of made it kind of a joke. It's like, well, when are we gonna see a bad movie? And now you know no one's laughing anymore. It's not funny anymore, guys. Nobody's joking anymore. So of course, 300, Rise of an Empire is the sequel to the 2006 film.
Let me look.
2007 film, 300. 300. No tagline needed. I think was the name of the first one.
300, this is the first one.
Yeah, that I want to come out with a movie like that.
2006.
Yeah, 2006. So, the first 300, based upon the graphic novel by the same name, was a very stylistic, brutally violent take on the 300 Spartans facing the Persian Empire as they charged through the hot gates
right
into Greece.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. I don't know.
It was awesome.
You liked it.
Okay. Everybody says it's a giant, like, homo fest.
Oh,
a lot of people are like, oh, it's just
that's just
like
people who don't have a bunch of naked men on their Pinterest page.
Yeah.
Those people are silly.
A lot of people are just like, oh, it's a total, like, you know, like, gay movie cloaked in a non-gay movie type. Whatever. Type.
You know, I have a name for those people. Out of shape people.
Yeah.
Embarrassed people. Fat people.
No, I thought 300 when it came out was really great. It was totally groundbreaking in terms of its style and the way it looked and the action and everything. And it was just, it was a badass movie. Dude.
Really
badass.
It was like,
it was a great story. It had a great story. It had a great cast.
Mm-hmm. Pectorals.
It had awesome abs. the action was awesome. The effects were awesome. It's very...
There was nothing really like it.
No, there was nothing
up
like
to that
it at
point.
All. And it was actually a very interesting story. In fact, it's one of very few movies that we see very rarely where the good guy dies at the end. If you
spoilers.
Spoilers if you don't know history.
Yeah. No, it was not a happy ending to the
that's what I said. He dies.
The original 300. Yeah, correct. Who Gerard Butler, right?
King Leonidas.
King Leonidas, played by Gerard Butler.
Lena and his abs.
And more importantly, the abs played by Gerard Butler. Fantastic film. Really blew me away. It was in 3D back in 2006 before 3D was cool. Before 3D was Avatar.
We were 3D before it was 3D.
Pretty much. And
I didn't know it was 3D back then.
Yeah, I saw it in 3D. I thought it was awesome.
I saw it in 4D.
You probably did. And now 8 years later, now we get a sequel.
Hold on. 2006, 2007.
Divided by 2, 7 in the title. Wait, no, that's his typo.
300?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's 300. 8 years later, we get a sequel to this movie, and it's kind of... we already saw one movie this year that we asked ourselves, did you ask for this? I
what movie was that?
I certainly didn't ask for this sequel. Anchorman 2.
Oh.
Yeah. 9 years after the first Anchorman. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's put it this way. I liked the fact that, so jumping kind of into it.
Yeah, tell me what you liked. That's exciting news.
Okay, I'll tell you what I liked. I liked the fact, and they did this in, with the new Bourne movies, where it's not necessarily a sequel. It's like happening at the same time almost.
Okay.
And I liked that.
Yeah.
I think for a sequel... I'm saying sequel just in the terms of it comes after the previous movie, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it's a really great way of tying it together and making it feel like it hasn't been 10 years since I've seen this movie.
Cause true.
Like, it's not like they're saying, oh, and then after Leonidas fell, in 20 years we rebuilt our army. And I'm like, I know, it's felt like an eternity. Why are we watching another movie about this? But it very much takes place at the same time, if not... you know, like the final battle of this, or actually this movie takes place more or less as Leonidas is fighting at the hot gates. And then he
directly after it.
And then, yeah. And then in the middle of this movie, 300, the original 300 timeline ends and Leonidas basically fails at his battle at the gates.
Yeah.
And
spoiler alert.
And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the world, and yeah, but basically, I like how it's kind
that's
of an
cool
overlapping storylines. Like, they did that, again, with the new Bourne movie with Jeremy Renner. Like, you know, you saw, like, little pieces of Matt Damon and information about he was on the run, and
yeah,
this was a separate side story. And I think that's really cool. I don't know why.
I think that's more clever and less lazy.
I think it's
lazy
more clever than you think it is.
than, say, a prequel would be. I'm getting tired. I don't know about you. I'm getting really tired of prequels. This could have been a prequel. There was a long, long time ago they were talking about making a follow-up and have it. They were just going to call it, I don't remember if you remember this, they were just going to call it Xerxes.
That's right.
And they were going to do
it was just
the rise of the big giant dude.
And it was
going to
be him at a tattoo parlor, just getting all of his piercings.
Right, right.
Ow!
Okay, I don't care what anyone says. You gotta get drunk before you do this. This is ridiculous.
I don't care what anyone says. If you don't have four rings around your neck like
yeah.
I have,
yeah, yeah, I'm a god king. Am I right? Am I right?
Right, right.
So there could have been a. When I first heard that, I wasn't looking forward to that.
And no, who cares about that?
Yeah, I don't care about Xerxes. I would much rather have seen Xerxes get his up and comings.
He had like
in a follow up, and he was in it for what, 10 minutes total?
Just in this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just like the first 300, though. He really had no screen time. He just like looks at the camera really mad and has his
piercings.
Nice eyebrows and everything. And then the rest of the movie is like actual fighting and story.
I
and
talk cool like this.
And I talk like you just, like you just, like you did.
I'll use my turn now and say what I liked.
Yeah, you go.
so we can get all that out of the way. I liked that it was rated R. That's somewhat refreshing. That it wasn't PG-13 because it very well could have been.
You can't see because this is radio, but I have my surprised face on because I didn't even really notice it.
Oh, except for all the people getting their heads chopped off and like boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Not the boobs chopped off, but there were boobs.
There were heads on boobs.
We saw full frontal nudity and heads getting chopped off, and that didn't cross your mind that we were watching a rated R film? We were in Lego Movie, actually.
Well, everything was awesome.
No, because everything was not awesome.
Because there was no swearing, really.
Oh, no, she did say fuck once.
Oh, and one
now,
time.
And now this podcast is rated R.
Congratulations. Now you're all conspiracy to rated R podcasts.
Because she told him, she's like, you fight harder than you fuck.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. He fights a lot harder than he penetrates.
I
didn't think he did fight harder than he penetrated.
Looked like
quite honest with you. I thought he gave it his all.
I thought...
Yeah.
I thought, just because, like, PG-13 movies, like, let's say you took this movie but eliminated, like, the couple, like, front boob scenes.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Don't do that.
No,
don't do
that. That's part of the
movie,
more.
Quite frankly.
PG-13 movies, you can be pretty violent in a PG-13 movie.
True.
So the violence was really just kind of, and plus with this type of violence, it's more... I don't know. Again, maybe I'm becoming desensitized or whatever, but
yeah,
it's almost more cartoon. You know, there's a slight graphic novel tinge. Is tinge a word?
Yeah, tinge is a word.
Yeah, tinge is a word.
Tinge is a good word.
Yeah, it is.
Congratulations on your word.
Thanks. Bye. you know, the graphics are the slight kind of like graphic novel comic book kind of tinge to it, to where it's you know, the blood was almost like jelly.
Yeah, very
globule-esque. Yeah,
very bloody.
Not to say that doesn't mean it's graphic because somebody's head's getting chopped.
Well, No, yeah, you're right. People's heads get cut off.
Everybody's heads was getting chopped off, but the blood didn't look real. Oh, so
PG. But yeah, the first 5 minutes, you get the very 300 feel to it. You get a lot of stop, like. The action slows down as he's slicing through someone's neck, and that all almost to the point where it's like, okay, let's move it along.
Like somebody in the editing room was leaning on the slow mo button. They're like,
I mean, there was a point in time where we were seeing a slow motion shot of the horse blinking. Remember that? It was like a close up of the horse whinnying, and I was just like, okay, yeah, I know you guys. I can't really fault you too much because you did invent this sort of.
But at the same time, it's like
moving along.
At the same time, it's like, yeah, I get this. I remember when you did it 9 years ago or whatever that
pretty
was.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but see, I don't mind that stuff a whole lot because I think the one thing this movie has going for it, and actually it didn't do as good as the original 300, but is like, you know, the actual cinematic style of the movie. And I think a lot of those shots are just so cool and they look so awesome. And like, you don't really. I don't know, you don't really get a lot of attention to detail, like kind of like that, like an action movie. You know, action movies aren't generally stylized, right? It's
true.
More just like, I'm going to fucking punch your face 100 times.
Oh, please do.
Oh, I will.
Well, that sounds awesome. Please do that instead of watching this movie.
So I didn't mind that stuff, and I like the kind of more artsy shots like that. I think they're cool, but
okay,
yeah,
fair enough. So those are the things we liked about the movie.
Okay,
great. So let's talk about the rest of it.
Oh God, where do I start?
Well, again, you know, the story is, as Jake said, it takes somewhat of a place right alongside 300, and then directly after the events of Leonidas dying. And so we see.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we see the basically the Greeks as they're forming together to fight the Persians as they're arriving on their soil, and it follows a new hero. God, I don't want to say his name again.
Thermometer.
Thermometer man. We follow him, and he's our new lead, and he's basically rallying his troops, and he becomes this kind of like living legend as he defeated one of the. Persian generals way back in the day, and which inevitably led to the events that created Xerxes the man he is.
Right.
And so we do get kind of a prequel story to Xerxes in the very beginning. And then we follow this thermometer guy through as he wades through.
I am rectal thermometer.
Yeah. As he cuts through waves and waves of Persians, you know, As they land on the shores and his army fights the other army and they eventually have a couple victories under their belt, and you know for a fact the Persians are gonna, you know, back him up against a wall, and the whole movie felt like one like you were saying, the special effects, that's a stylistic CGI effect after another.
Yeah,
and it was like a sizzle reel with that nobody really wanted to sit for an hour and 45 minutes through.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. So again, another cool thing. First of all, let's just talk about the original 300. Yeah, that's like all I'm talking about. So another.
Well, it's hard. You have to compare it right. to the original.
Another thing the first 300 had going for it was that they established this world and they proved it, in which the Spartans were hands down the best fighting force in the entire world, or at least in that, you know, Western Hemisphere or whatever. Yeah. It was, right? It was like they were the feared army.
Right.
And they had, you know, from the minute you were like 5 years old to whatever, you were trained and beaten and training and training and training and training. And right. the only thing that's beaten into your head is like you should want to die.
Right.
To protect your country because you're the best and right. we're badass, blah, blah.
Which really...
And they...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and they proved it during the battle scenes,
mm-hmm.
the way the fights were, like the way the soldiers would stagger with their shields,
mm-hmm.
and they would like, you know, shield down and like spear over the top and then like back to shields and then mm-hmm. advance. And it was just very like methodical, and tactics. It made you believe like, yeah, these guys are fucking badass. You know, they like, and in the original 300, they, you know, it's a typical kind of like video game walkthrough where first you kind of have the foot soldiers and then they bring in the bigger guns and then the bigger guns and the bigger guns. And the original 300, they're still just like murdering all these guys.
Yeah.
Just not even a problem.
Yeah.
And they're just like super badass. You know, they'd be like, you know, they'd go through, you know, 1,000 enemies, and then they'd be like taking a break for the night, and they'd be like, you know, tend your wounds because tomorrow we're blah. And it was like, yeah, you guys are awesome.
Bathing in blood of our adversaries. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And they'd just like laugh about how easy it was. Yeah. And blah.
It was awesome.
And then, so they like proved it.
Yeah.
And in this one, so Sparta, I guess is its own little area of
right.
Greece.
It's like a little kingdom.
Right. Yeah. And this movie is more about Athens. Right.
Right.
And so these are different Greeks?
Different Greek
geeks?
Gregardians.
Gregardians?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get the sense that they were very well trained at all. It just seemed very...
the Spartans? Or the... Well, because the Greek warriors were supposed to be... Which I thought there was a bad balance. I think I'm glad you touched on that. Because you get... First of all, we got the feeling that, like Jake said, he explained that the Sparta was this like powerhouse of a city of fighters, and all they care about is vengeance and getting and having a noble death. And then what happens? There are 300 of them die, and they're like, "Oh, we don't want to fight anymore. we're good. We're gonna sit this one out, and we're gonna cry."
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that. That's completely out of character. What you just explained, that you're supposed to be these badass warriors that don't take any guff from anybody, and then 300 soldiers had snuck out in the first film. You know, it looks as it was they went against the council
right.
to do this, and they sneak out and they get brutally murdered. Their king is murdered, and they're just like, oh yeah, yeah, we've had enough.
Bye bye,
bye bye. We're gonna go fight in the sand some more.
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense. And then on the other hand, you have in this movie the Greeks, who continue to say over and over and over again how they're so untrained and they're all just farmhands and street cleaners and pottery barn employees. And yet
they I'm just a poor chimney sweep.
Yeah, they kept saying that over and over again, like, oh, how can we stand against them? We're just farmers. And they look just as capable as the Spartans in the first movie.
I'm just a poor farmer who's ripped with perfect pecs
they
and
all
biceps.
Looked amazing. Like, I was like, wait, so these, because at the beginning I was a little thrown off. I was like, well, so are these the Spartans? Because they look exactly like all the Spartans in the that were supposed to be the badass He-Man men. All right. But if everybody in Greece looks like that, then why are Spartans so cool?
Thank you for showing up to Greek baking class. Today's first order of business, everybody, 2,000 sit-ups.
Pretty
and,
much.
And then we're going to make some pasta.
This is really hard. Well, you should see what they're doing in pottery class. Yeah, because apparently they all are just yoked, and they're capable of slicing people's heads off one after another and jumping from moving ships to moving ships on the high seas.
Yeah, so...
But then they're all done for the night, and they're just like... How can we even face more men? We're nothing. We're fast food employees. Yeah. I don't know. What
like
else.
After the first battle, the guy was like, "Can we continue to sustain these losses?" And it's just like, well,
if you got any more farmers, then yes, you can. If you know of any Blockbuster employees that would like to join the battle, I think we got a good fighting chance.
There's an entire IKEA two cities over.
Oh well, Persia should just turn around and go home.
Yeah, I mean, it was just. Like, I just felt like the movie was presented in a way that was, like, very, excuse me, like, I didn't have any reason to root for these guys. I was just like, I was like, I don't get it. You're not soldiers. Yeah. You've already kind of, I think early on they mentioned, like, 300, they mentioned, like, Leonidas and his army of 300 and how Sparta is, like, the best soldiers in the world. And I'm just like, so you're already admitting, like, you're not as good as those guys.
Yeah.
Why am I watching this movie?
Yeah. It didn't make any sense. It felt like they took the first movie and like just stretched out all the fight scenes and very thinly so that they could have a second film.
Yeah. Did you notice too? So a lot of this movie actually takes place naval warfare. A lot of it's on boats.
A lot of it on boats. Which would have been, if there needed to be a sequel, it would have been kind of an interesting spin. From the close quarters, hot gates scenario we saw in the first one.
Well, I mean, you know, that was a very, unique, like, that was a very unique thing about the first movie was, and a plot point about the whole, okay, we'll funnel the enemy through. Mm-hmm. So that was like something specifically unique and pretty cool and part of the story for the first 300. So you can't, you have to like. You know, I can see the like pompous Hollywood people right now being like, how do we make this like more than what the first 300 was? And somebody's like, well, the first 300 was very narrow, close quarters. This one will be on the open sea.
Genius, let's order Chinese.
Genius, who's going to Starbucks?
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's what it felt like. It just, the whole movie really just reeked of we are in the shadow of the first movie. And as unnecessary as it was, it the whole thing felt like you just didn't have the machismo of the first one.
You didn't have the guff. You're
missing something. And in every single fight scene, it was, there was some good special effects and it had the slowdown and it had the, but it just goes to show you that if you don't have the rest of the story and
you don't have Gerard Butler with his shirt off, you got nothing.
Pretty much. Every movie should add more shirtless Gerard Butler, apparently.
I hear you. I feel like even all the way down to Thermometer Man. He was just a very unmotivating lead character.
He's a very bland character.
He was very bland.
I wouldn't say he was terrible. No one was exactly, I wouldn't call a terrible actor either. They just were just in a very like, you're a good guy, you're a bad guy. Roles.
I don't know. I just very much feel kind of like you said, where it's just like the entire movie. I just kind of thought it was like they were all aware that this movie's not as good as the last movie. You know what I mean? Like,
thanks for coming.
Thanks for your money.
Hey, we understand. Please bear with us for the next hour and 45 minutes. One thing I really liked about the first one, I wanted to mention this one, that this was missing, and I think maybe has a part of the reason why it wasn't as enjoyable, just being there are plenty, was I liked the fact that the first 300 was purposefully over the top, because you realize it, you know, throughout the story and towards the end of the story, that it's supposed to be, you're supposed to be watching a story unfold as a general is standing around his campfire motivating his troops the night before battle. Everything's bloated.
Right.
The Xerxes was 10 feet tall. Why? Right. Because he's larger than life.
That's how you feel if you're the soldier on the front line. Yeah. You're like, oh my God.
There was John's giant monsters. And as I watched the movie, I kind of realized, I was like, well, you know, for all intents and purposes, these aren't really giant monsters, but this is a guy telling what ultimately is like a fable to motivate his troops. Because at the very end of 300, after the 300 had fallen, you see his like number two guy leading a charge of other Spartans.
Right.
Which, where did that not enter into this movie?
The whole movie is a narrative, a story being told by that guy.
By that guy.
So it makes total sense.
You realize at the end that he's telling this story right as they're about to charge into battle to apparently avenge Leonidas. Which I guess was dropped from this movie completely.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense whatsoever. And they're on foot, by the way. They're not on any boats. And they're about to charge into a whole wave of Persians.
Persians?
Persians.
Purses?
He's about to
run. Everybody, grab your purses.
They're about to run into
Persia. We're going shopping!
We're going into Persiatory. Yeah. Yeah. And it was... So that didn't make it. Now that I'm saying it out loud, that didn't make it. The ending of 300 does not sync up very well to the beginning of this movie at all.
No, because how this movie ends, and I'll say spoiler here, but you know, whatever, it doesn't really give away much. But this movie ends as a naval battle, more or less. Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Am I remembering that right? Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So this movie ends as the final battle is a naval battle. And like Paul said, if you remember, the end of 300 is the guy who's been narrating the entire time leading a charge more Spartans to go avenge him. And it seems like they kind of just said, well, let's not go
there. Forget about that. They showed him at the end. Remember they showed him pop up with his one eye?
Yeah. That guy, that's one of those guys that his voice doesn't match his face and his body.
It's exactly.
So fucking weird.
Dude. He's like all ripped and he's just like, anyway. It's like, and we will go to fight your kingdom, Sir Leonidas. I'm like,
you look weird.
He sounds silly.
Either you look weird or your voice is wrong. Change your voice.
But I'm definitely not wrong.
Change your voice. Yeah. Do it now. I just like the whole movie lacked a little gusto. I think that's the word we're looking for, right? Like it didn't have, I really thought this lead character, I thought Thermometer Man was just super like underwhelming as a general. Or whatever. He never gave his speeches were just, I mean, you watch the original 300, right? If you're sitting at home on a Saturday having a beer or something, you got your surround sound on he's giving his speeches. You're like, I will fucking kill somebody now.
Our arrows will blot out the sun.
Yeah.
Then we will fight in the shade.
And you're like, that's awesome. Oh, it's Saturday. I'm in the living room with my surround sound.
I'm going to add this to my Pinterest.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to screenshot this and add it to my Pinterest board.
Oh, it fits perfectly. Yeah. No, you're right. There's no weight. No weight. No meat. It's on the bones.
No, not at all.
I'll be honest, though. I've kind of a little bit of a crush on the bad girl.
Oh, yeah.
Eyeshadow
girl?
Yeah. It's like the movie was like halfway through. It's like, Paul, we're really sorry you had to come. We're going to have her take her top off for you. Thank you, movie. Thank you. Finally. Someone's thinking of me. No, so, she's gorgeous.
So an hour and 15 minutes into the movie, Paul finally stopped shouting, "Show your boobs," at the screen.
Yeah. All those children and their families show really upset.
Show us your boobs. Yeah. My son is right here. Shut up, lady.
Yeah. She's honestly, though, all joking aside, I was really happy. Now, all joking aside, I thought she was actually pretty decent. Like, I was waiting for her to sound really stupid and corny. Anytime you, try to get, some tiny little girl trying to be a general of armies and things like that on at wartime on the middle of the high seas. I was waiting for her to say something really stupid and cheesy. I honestly thought she was pretty good. I honestly thought she was like pretty ruthless, pretty solid actress all the way around.
Well, I think you sound horribly sexist.
Call me.
Big fan of the show, actually.
Yeah, big fan of the show.
I did not hate her. I didn't hate her. I think I've mentioned this before on this show. A lot of times I have problems with like giant like female action stars.
Well, because they try to do things like way out of character and make them be more than they really should.
Right.
And,
right.
And they yeah. And here she was. I think she was pretty badass. She had pretty interesting backstory. She was Greek and she was, you know, raped all hell on Greek slave ships, and that's why she joined the Persians, and
she hates the Greeks.
There's a lot of things I liked about this movie, but Jesus Christ, it was far overshadowed by I was just simply bored.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking towards the end of the movie? Excuse me. The beginning of the movie was pretty cool, and the end was actually all right. But there was the middle just dragged with like
I was like falling asleep during one of the boat battles.
I was too.
I was seriously like nodding off. I was like, I have to go to the bathroom.
I was like, I hope Paul doesn't see me like quote unquote resting my eyes. You know what I mean?
Well, luckily he was wearing those glasses with the eyes painted on.
I know.
And he was just looking right at me. Jake, stop staring at me. Stop staring right at me, wide eyed and snoring. And look at the movie.
I had the glasses with the eyeballs on the springs.
Yeah, he had a fake mustache for some reason. You're not fooling anyone, Jake.
You're not fooling anyone.
I know it's you, wide awake.
I know that mustache isn't real. You know that's not your sleeping mustache.
His plan worked perfectly. I was so preoccupied with his mustache.
When you sleep, you have a goatee.
I had no idea you also had a fake mole. yeah, so I was falling asleep.
Yeah, towards the middle, I was like having a hard time keeping my eyes open. I was like, oh, man. Because
that's what happens when you have action with no bearing. Like when you don't care about who's victorious in the end of any scene. And when you have that, it's like you can have all the blood and crazy cool special effects. Because they were cool special effects. But you can have all that you want to. And if it's meaningless to me, I don't care. Then I find myself sitting in Three Musketeers. Pretty much.
And again, and also it was the naval battles. There was a couple where it was like maybe it was the first one. I think I looked at you and said something. I think the first naval battle they had, like something happened. And then it like...
Was it the boats could like stop on a dime and turn around and go sideways somehow?
Pop wheelies.
It was pretty ridiculous, actually.
Yeah, all that they'll be like in their boat and he's just like...
Go there!
And he's like, now!
Now we crash into them. It's like it takes a while to steer those things.
These are sailboats. Yeah, you can't just go...
Fly!
Go up. He's all dive.
I wouldn't have been surprised, dude. It would have been just as far-fetched as some of the maneuvers they were pulling off in this movie.
No, I think it was the first battle they had, and it was like, it like you know, there's some ship ramming going on or whatever, and then it was, and then it like cut to the bad girl lady, what I don't remember her name,
hot girl,
and she was like Hottie McHotterson.
Hottie McHotterson, and
she was like, well, he is a fine strategist, and then it like cut back to our heroes, and they're just like all back on shore, like, well, that was a close battle. I'm like, wait,
The day is ours.
I was like, there was a conclusion?
Who will drink with me?
Like, I didn't see there was a...
No, that was it. Just... Oh, we don't need to show you that part.
Oh, we don't got...
You get it. You get it.
We don't have to make it coherent.
It's just like the thermometer guy is like standing here. He's like, and moving along.
And...
Cut.
Yeah.
Next.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I think there was like two kind of middle battles or whatever that... Didn't need to be there. I think this movie wasn't very long. What, hour and 45 minutes?
Hour and 43 minutes. Wrong again, Jake.
What else is new? I think if they could have even trimmed this down to like an hour and a half, I think it would have made it. I really think it would have made it a lot better. I really do. Like,
probably.
They could have.
Okay. It would have had my attention a little bit longer.
So, spoiler. Because I don't really care at this point.
There's actually 299 guys.
One guy is CGI. So spoiler, after one of the many just random battles, the bad girl, Hottie McHotterson, boobs a lot, sends for Thermometer Man. And she's like, she sends like a small boat, go get him and tell him I want to talk to him. So they send a small boat to go get Thermometer and he just is like, okay, I'll go on this boat to go meet the girl. That sounds right. Kill me.
Yeah. And then as absurd as that is. And then she's like,
after they're done like doing their thing and having their little meeting, she's like, all right, you can go back to your army now, and I won't murder you. The only chance that I possibly have of winning this war is you've been you being me. Alive or you being dead. But I'll let you go. Because clearly I'm a very noble person. I just threw off my first commander into the abyss.
With iron cuffs on his...
It makes no sense. As soon as he stepped onto that boat, I would have been like, I got you.
I would have just stabbed him.
You're dead. You're dead now. Yeah.
You're dead
War's
now.
War's over. I'm going to kill all your farmers. It makes no sense.
I'm going to kill all your stupid farmers.
Exactly. I'm going to kill all your postmen, and I'm going to win this war. But no, she goes, oh, you won't die. Because I was wondering, how's he going to get out of this? Because he refuses her offer he accepts her offer to bang her, and then he refuses her offer to, they have a little sex scene in the middle of the war table.
It's like that whole thing could have been eliminated.
Really weird. Well, no... please don't eliminate that scene, actually. That's my favorite scene. And
I heard there's another cut of this movie without that sex scene, and it just has a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, there's another scene of that, or there's another version of this movie where I sleep the entire time. Or I just stay in the bathroom and cry.
Oh, this is horrible. There's no boobs.
So I was wondering as soon as he gets on the boat, I was like, how is he going to get out of this one? And she goes, you can go. You won't die on this day because the script says so. Otherwise, there's no movie.
It was very just, it was useless. It didn't like drive the movie anywhere. It didn't provide like a turning point. Nothing happened. He didn't you know, get a piece of information and get the upper hand on something, or neither did she. It was just
it's just like, we gotta show her boobs.
It's like boob time.
Boob time in the movie.
All right, you can go back to your guys. Go back to your farmers and your Best Buy employees.
We're gonna fight again.
Bye.
And that's the movie.
Bye bye.
So we've talked about this now for 45 minutes.
Well, it's more than it deserves.
That's literally like, no, I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
End
of podcast.
End of session.
It was just very, what'd you think about him having the secret weapon of the horse at the end?
Oh my God, that was ridiculous.
Was it? I kind of thought it was kind of cool.
Are you serious? We all your preparations below deck are ready. And he's well fed. Yeah, and I was like, what is he? Oh, okay, what's he got down there? I forgot, because I saw in the previews he busts out of the boat with a horse, and he goes running across all the boats.
I kind of thought it was cool.
Really?
Because
riding his little CGI horse.
Well, I thought it was cool because it wasn't over the top in the sense.
It wasn't realistic whatsoever. So I liked it.
Well, it wasn't over the top in the sense that it was like
he was riding a horse and jumping across exploding boats.
Yeah, but all the boats were like stacked up next to each other, so he could just jump on a horse. And that's another thing. Why didn't any of these boats have
spread out
like railings? You know, you're noticing it was just like a flat top.
Yeah, they're very and they had like, a little rope on the
there
bottom.
Was like nothing. Yeah. And like the boat would hit like a slightest wave, and people would just fall off.
Well, that's why they're having this whole war. Safety. It's safety regulations from the boat inspectors.
I can just see like the commander of the boat just being like, I lose more soldiers that way, where they just like fall.
Ah! Careful, it's really slippery.
It made no sense.
We are not turning this around if you fall off.
Yeah, the boats were all just like completely flat. Like it was just like a Lego block. It was like a square.
Much like the rest of this movie, it's to move the plot along so that horses can jump across them.
Well, hey, what are you going to do? I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I was like, that makes sense. I mean, if
a horse is going to jump across like three or four boats.
Why not? I mean, he didn't.
Why not?
He didn't leap across them like in one bound.
No, the horse did.
No, he didn't. He like went from boat to boat. He didn't like jump across all of them in one.
He might as well have just sprouted wings and flown around.
Well, I mean,
it would have made just as much sense.
I mean, in the first one, there was like mythical creatures and stuff, but in this one, you know, I was like,
there were, but it was within the context. This wasn't someone telling a story, and which is one of the reasons why I didn't like it as much. I like that idea.
Paul likes his stories.
I do enjoy my stories.
So. There was a couple creatures when he was underwater, and he was like those giant eels or something.
Yeah, they were trying to like harken back to
the mythology.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also when they showed Xerxes that one time, he had like a...
He had like a
chihuahua or...
He had the beast from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Dude, I watched it the other day. That beast is so cool looking.
Yeah.
It's like a nasty...
Stop
looking.
Motion.
Yeah, it's a nasty looking animal.
Looks great.
Let's talk about Ghostbusters.
Let's do that. So the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was pretty awesome.
Rest in peace, Harold Ramis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention that. That's terrible. Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all. That's all. You want to add anything else before we wrap it up?
I guess I didn't. It sounds bad, I guess, but I didn't really hate this movie, but I didn't like it. I was just kind of like, whatever.
Would you recommend it? How did you recommend
it? I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't put this on my worst enemy.
No. Yeah, it had certain redeeming qualities that didn't make me feel like I was still excited to talk about it, and I'm happy. It's fun to go see and hang out and now do a show on it. There's been times where we see bad movies and it's just like, I am so bored. I don't wish this on anyone.
Yeah. I really think if they could have cut like 15 or 20 minutes out of the middle of the movie, that it would have been a nice paced movie, which would make up for the kind of lack of story. You know, like it's one of those things where you can have three things, but very rarely do you have them all, right? Like a good story and great acting and like whatever, a well paced movie, you know, whatever it is. Like usually it's like long and drawn out and but it was good acting.
Yeah.
Or it's bad acting, but it was short and good action. It's like, this was just like, you needed to up the ante, either more, a better story, better action pieces or something, or it needed to be shorter. Cause that middle part just, yeah. I mean, we both admitted we basically were
falling asleep. I was nodding off. I was just like,
So that's that.
Okay, I agree. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody. I'd recommend this to Jason, but no one else.
I'd recommend this to you. Paul, you should go see this again.
Oh, really? Is it anything like the first one? Well, play the show back. Yeah, no, I agree. So there you have it. Neither one of us are the biggest 300 fans in the world. So see at your own risk. And if you did like it, please, by all means, write to us and explain yourself, moron.
Explain yourself, you idiot.
Just JK. All right, so we'll be right back. And when we do return, we have plenty to talk about in the movie news.
Sounds good. And stick around for more Cinema Recon.
Had a long day? 'Cause you had a bad
day. So, how about this? How about you and I take a little break?
Who, me and you?
Yes, you and I.
I'm the lucky gal.
Yeah. How about you and I go have a little box social?
Yeah.
Kick off those shoes, grab your favorite gal, and stay right here for more Cinema Recon.
Welcome back to the show. You're still listening to Cinema Recon, and we just finished our review of 300, Rise of an Empire.
Rise of a bad movie.
And we, yeah.
In between breaks right here, we basically just looked up all the cool stuff from the original 300, and we basically reminisced saying, wasn't it so cool when this happened?
Remember when that happened? Remember when that didn't happen in the movie we just saw? You know what else I was thinking too is, what Empire rose? Where was there a rise? Weren't they defending themselves from being attacked?
I thought about that too. I'm glad you brought it up. Nothing happened.
There was no rise of anybody. They're already established. They're like, please don't kill us.
Please don't kill us. We're Greece.
Yeah. Doesn't.
So what?
What? And then how? And then he. And yeah.
So they were already a place.
Right.
And the bad guys were going to say, we're going to take your place. And they're like, no.
Don't take our place. Rise of an Empire. What does that mean?
Shouldn't it have been called Rise of an Empire if Xerxes would have won? Then it could be called Rise of an Empire.
Sure.
Because he was expanding his empire.
That didn't happen in this movie.
No, and he was also barely in the movie.
He was barely in the movie. They should have called it 300, Please Don't Kill Us.
300, pretty much the same as the other one.
300, The Bad Girl is really, really hot.
300, Paul keeps shouting boobs at the movie screen. Show us your boobs.
Embarrassing. It was really embarrassing when I was out in the lobby buying candy and I was still saying it.
I'll have the red vines.
Show me your boobs.
And the medium Pepsi. Show us your boobs.
Absurd. Absurdness. It was only half true. Yeah. So we're back and let's talk about some movie news.
Movie news.
Yes. Because there's a lot of it. There's a lot going around.
There's a lot of good stuff.
A lot of people. It's funny.
Good things. A lot of good things.
It's funny. Every week there's something new. It's weird. It's funny. Isn't that strange?
There's always new things.
Yeah, yeah. You hear about this? You hear about this? You hear about this? Maggie Grace is confirmed for Taken 3, which means there's a Taken 3.
You gotta be kidding me.
Swear to God.
You gotta be kidding
me. Swear to God. So his daughter's gonna be in the new movie.
Wait, she's in all of them. She's the one who gets...
Right, but... Taken. Yeah, she's the one who gets taken, and then she gets taken, and they all get taken in the Taken 2.
Taken 3.
Yeah. So I didn't realize it was... Until I read this, I didn't realize it was going to be a Taken 3.
So... Okay, I didn't see Taken 2. Do...
I saw pieces of it.
Do him and her team up to save the mom or something?
So basically the mom and her get taken, right? And he's got to like...
I don't know. I just said I didn't see it.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
So, right. Right. You did say that. So, yeah. So, because the bad guys are all like, you killed all our guys.
We're going to kill all your guys.
Which I thought was a pretty cool premise for an action movie. It's like, you have all these action movies where the lead character, like Schwarzenegger comes in or Stallone comes in and murders a bunch of people, then rides off in the sunset, gets the girl.
And all the bad guys are just crying. The bad guys are
like, well, we must be like Sparta because we're going to just sit here and take it on the chin.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, the second movie don't watch it. Don't watch it. But yeah, there's gonna be a Taken 3. So who's gonna be taken? What's gonna be taken? I wonder if he's gonna go crazy and then he's gonna start taking people.
I got you. I'm gonna take you. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I wish I had seen the second. Well, I don't wish I had seen the second one, but I wonder if, because I thought I remembered a preview or a clip where him and his daughter kind of team up a little bit, and they're
do. Yeah, yeah, that so, happens.
You know, the typical sequel trequel storyline, you have to do one bigger and better. Is it going to be like now him and his daughter and his wife team up and they're all fighting crime? Like what's
Taken 3 to summer camp in a wacky new adventure. That'd be great if they did it in this style of a 1980s comedy.
Oh dude, that'd be great. Weekend at Bernie's at summer camp. Taken.
Yeah. Liam Neeson keeps getting up and falling down and then slipping on a banana peel. When will he get up? Yeah. So there you go. Are you excited?
I don't know, man. I mean, the first one was all right. Taken was cool.
Taken was great.
Kind of cool. It was his kind of big leap into action.
Yeah, now he's a big action star.
Now he doesn't do anything
else. Butt action. Yeah.
He does butt action.
Yeah, yeah. The little thing he has on the side.
He just, 100%. Yeah. Liam Neeson does nothing butt action.
Yeah, no, you read about it on my Pinterest page. Yeah, it's a good time. Butt action.
You know, these days he pretty much just 100% does butt action.
Yeah, it's just kind of where my career took me. You know, it's like you at the end of the day, you ask yourself, you know, how do I want to challenge myself as an actor? And I felt this was the most natural occurring rear-ending role.
Yeah.
Thank you, Liam. I have more casting news.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Our good buddy, friend of the show, Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
Am I saying that correctly?
I don't know. I always say Idra Elbus. I always dyslexic that.
Well, that's completely wrong.
Yeah, I know.
I usually call him Donnie Darko. Idris Elba is in talks to...
Was that a racist joke?
No, actually it wasn't. It was the first thing that popped in my head.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely...
that's mean.
That was definitely a Freudian slip right there. I'm pretty sure you're racist.
I am pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I want to go crawl under a...
Our good friend, Blackie McBlack Guy... No, I love
love you some Idris.
Yeah.
He was really good in...
Especially his horrible southern accent in Prometheus.
Oh, God.
What we're reading down today is a life form.
It doesn't make any sense. I really liked him in...
And that was a bad southern accent on my part.
Yeah. You must be racist. So anyway, he's in talks to join... I didn't even know this was the thing, to be quite honest with you. And I'm learning more and more as these casting news is coming out. Jon Favreau is going to be directing The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And Idris Elba is in talks to star as Shere Khan.
Yeah, I saw that. I read that. I heard that.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, me and Idris were having coffee the other day. And
he tells you?
Yeah.
It's funny because...
Because I've been calling him.
Because I made these jokes at one night at a party and he hasn't called me since.
I keep telling him to go to my Pinterest page. Or board or whatever it is.
He's like, actually, Paul, I heard you were racist.
Actually, you just, racist motherfucker.
Yeah, you're not on the set of Prometheus anymore, thank God.
Oh, well, thank God.
Isn't he French?
I think Canadian? He is, actually. So that was like an actual... Doesn't make any sense.
Good old Aegis, call us.
Call us. Call me. We all know you don't care for Paul anymore.
No, no, we had a kind of a falling out. It was a Freudian slip, Aegis.
I swear.
Okay. Well, that's all that we can say about that. Are you a Jungle Book fan?
No.
Oh. Well, did you watch the cartoon? You didn't watch cartoons growing up. I picture you like...
like a coal mine?
He raises like a Spartan. He was punching in the face and throwing you into dirt. Except it just didn't... It had the opposite effect on you. You're a huge pussy.
One step above thermometer, man. And that's about as good as it gets.
One step against hemoglobin. Yeah. So, okay. Well, scratch that moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen The Jungle Book.
Really? Seen Jungle Book?
I have. Classic, when did it come out in the lineup of...
Like 1935.
67.
Yeah, it's really old.
Man, that's old.
Sorry.
So who is he going to play?
Shere Khan.
Shaka Khan?
This is terrible. Yeah, yeah. Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan. Shere Khan. So the tiger.
Khan?
Khan! Star Trek. No, no, yeah, it's going to be the third iteration of the same story. Shere Khan in Jungle Book was the tiger. And so, but I don't know.
Pretty much like in Lion King.
But I don't know anything else about this movie. Is it going to be live action? Is it going to be CGI? Is it going to be live action CGI?
Well, I'll tell you what you just told me when we were having coffee and croissants.
Please, please tell me. Yeah, because he's French. Maybe. I don't know, to be quite honest with you. I don't know much, is what I'm trying to say here. Yeah.
I don't know much
about it.
No, that's not the song I heard.
Don't know much.
Grew up in London. Idris Elba.
And that's weird because he's French.
He's an English television, theater, and film actor.
Well, I was way off.
He was born an only child and grew up in London.
Oh... Okay, makes sense. Now
it makes sense why his southern accent
I was thinking of Jean Reno. Completely different.
Anyways, so he's going to be in a movie, huh?
So yeah, it's good for him, you know? I don't know who's he going to take in this movie.
I don't know.
Oh wait, no, this is Jungle Book. Wait. I like Disney movies, so I'll go see it. So there. And I was a big supporter of Aegis Elba, even though we had that falling out. more stories. Mark Webb. You know, our good friend Mark Webb.
Oh, yeah.
Director of the upcoming Spider-Man, or Amazing Spider-Man 2, rather, has come out and said, like, in an interview, like, in passing, the Rhino, you know, the film has several different villains.
Paul Giamatti.
Right. Rhino, is played by Paul Giamatti, is going to only be in the Amazing Spider-Man 2 for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Total screen time.
Yeah. That's sad.
Is that so... Yeah, it is really sad. Could he have been saying the Rhino as in the CGI buffed up robotic
as in
man?
Literally the Rhino?
The Rhino? Or will Paul Giamatti only be in the film for 4 minutes? Because
do you think it matters either way?
Well, I mean, where's the character? It's just like he shows up. He's like, I'm a bad guy now.
Give me your wallet.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Give me your wallet and also the world domination thing.
Oh, man. I can't wait to reboot this. Maybe I'll be in the reboot.
Can't wait for my spinoff. Yeah, I read that and I was like, that's at what point, maybe it was it this we were talking about? I was like, at what point is it just blatant false advertising? I was like,
yeah, you said that about
all
this,
the promo posters. And do you remember like a couple months ago, there was a tri-panel poster that was leaked and it was like the Goblin and Spider-Man and
Electric
Rhino
Man.
And Electricity Bulb Man.
Yep. Fireman.
And the Rhino, and it's just been everything that we've heard is like the Rhino and Electro and blah blah blah, and it's just like, but he's in for 4 minutes. You can't even say,
Rhino in 4 minutes.
Rhino. I mean, there are extras who have longer,
true,
screen time than
Aunt May is going to be in the movie longer than Rhino.
Yeah, she's not a bad guy.
I can guarantee it. No, she is Rhino. Big reveal.
She's like, I'll get
you.
Yeah,
it's silly, you know, and it's like. Didn't they learn their lesson from Spider-Man 3? Too many does not always a good movie make.
I don't like not just Spider-Man 3, but just sequels and trilogies in general. It's like I don't understand the, like, I don't subscribe to the bigger is better like theory of movie, right? It's like, just because we had a one bad guy in the first one, we don't have to have two bad guys in the second one and four bad guys in the third one, and also introduce two new kind of teaser characters who might be bad guys. It's like, you don't have to do all that. Like, why can't you just stick with like a really good villain and like make that a good story? And have a few teasers here and there about, you know, setting up other potential villains. And
yeah, like if they mention them by name, like the guy who turns into Venom, you know, you
right.
mention his name, fine. But you don't have to have them really crowbarred into the movie.
Right, like it seems Paul Giamatti is. Like,
or even more so, the Green Goblin's going to be. If Electro's the... Because Mark Webb has said that Electro's the main villain.
Yeah.
He's the main guy.
Even though we've seen... what's his name? Dane DeHaan, like... Is it
basically
Dane?
Having a fight?
Dane? Is that his name?
Dane DeHaan. He's basically having a fight with Spider-Man. So he has several scenes as Harry Osborn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I this movie is just yeah.
Like, and I don't know. That's something like the older Spider-Mans did really well. Number 2, which was a great movie. The old Tobey Maguire Spider-Man number 2.
One of the best superhero movies to this day.
And they did it really good when they like would just introduce characters slightly. Like, I remember there was a scene where he was talking to his professor and he had one arm, which is the guy that goes on to become the Lizard.
That's right.
But there was never any like he didn't I don't recall what the character's name is, but the Lizard guy, right? Before he's a Lizard. He never like talked to Spider-Man.
Wouldn't it be weird if his name was Lizard Man before he turned into a lizard?
I'll have that paper for you in the morning, guy who's going to go on to become the Lizard Man.
Thanks, Professor Gecko.
Thanks, Professor Enemy.
You're welcome, Peter Spider-Man. It's an origin story.
But it's gritty. It's real, Paul.
I get it.
Nah, but you know, there was never any it never showed him doing his own thing, and he never said like, okay, Peter, and like then gave a sinister look. It was just enough to like
cheat on his taxes.
Well, we don't know that. There have been rumblings.
Yeah, you're right. It was just a smart, like a nod.
It was a nod. It was the setup was there for if you wanted to do it for another movie, you could.
Sure.
But it was never just like you're saying, crowbarred in where it's like, and this is the Rhino now.
Enjoy. Force feed.
It's just too much, man.
Yeah, well, they're trying to set up this big, giant universe now, and they're rushing it, and they're talking about spinoff movies with Sinister Six, and I guess we shall see.
Well, that's also what I don't get. If you're gonna set up this giant universe, right, and you have a finite amount of characters to use,
yeah,
why would you try to shoehorn them in all into this movie? I would be like, all right, we're going to do Electro and we'll have some rumblings of another villain and we'll show Harry Osborn maybe coming into his own towards the end of the movie. And then for Spider-Man 3, maybe he'll appear.
Sure, that's fine. Let's do that.
Like, you have limited villains. Why are you cramming them all in?
It's exactly what they did in Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, it's just like you're just going to... What happens in 2 years when you have to reboot this again? Are you going to do the same... Like the same bad guys, or
sure, because if their trademark starts running out, they gotta rush and make a movie. Mark Webb also, I we're going on a tangent on Spider-Man alone, but Mark Webb said a lot of things this past week. He also said he admitted that when he was approached by Sony, like the main head exec at Sony, to do Spider-Man, he was like, "That's the stupidest idea." His exact quote was, "That is the stupidest idea I've ever heard."
He said that. Mark Webb?
To the Sony exec. I wish I had the story in front of me. I'd give you her name.
About part one or part two?
About the first Amazing Spider-Man. Like, they approached him. They said, we need to reboot this. Our licensing is running out, and we have to have a movie come out within the next 12 months. And he goes, that is the stupidest idea I have ever heard. And he go and then he's just,
and then they put big sacks of money in his
they drive a dump truck full of money on his front doorstep.
Give me your address.
And he but no, what the woman said to him, and this is all Mark Webb telling this story. He then said that she said to him, "Mark, you don't turn down Spider-Man." And pretty much he was like, "You're right, you're right."
Yeah, it's true.
It's too big for my career. He did it. He says he's glad. Of course, he's glad he did it now. Now it's the big hit that it is.
Right, and now he wants to direct nothing but Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Which I think just but, like Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson, like, don't you get tired of that material after a while?
I guess. I mean, that is a lot of Lord of the Rings.
If I was Peter Jackson, like, by now, right? Have they filmed a third one yet? Is it done?
Yeah, because he did them all at once. He did them all at once. So maybe it's not that bad if you're doing them all at once. Like one.
It's just got to be just exhausting. Seriously. You're just like, okay, and then the Hobbits.
Don't you want to go on and do like Game of Thrones or something?
It's just something totally different. Or are you just like tired of it? Like, okay, and then the Hobbits chase them or whatever. I don't care. Just give them the sword.
Don't forget their furry feet.
Et cetera, et cetera. Sword of Aragon, mystical beings of Netherlands, blah, blah.
You get it. You've read the books, right?
Film it.
That's it.
Anyways.
And then there you go.
What about Idris Elba?
Oh. So apparently, next on the list, I sent you the pictures, and our audience can go on any news site. You'll search for this, and you'll find it immediately. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie by Michael Bay has toys that are released. God damn those toys, right? They're always the
spoiler.
Toys are huge spoilers. So the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys have been released, and at least pictures of them have. And they give away exactly, now we know pretty much exactly what the Michael Bay turtles are going to look like.
In Pog form.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you have one up.
I have them all up.
You have them up. And so, yeah. Speak to them.
Question number one.
Yes.
From the toy industry in general.
Yeah.
Why is any toy company other than McFarlane Toys in business?
Other than McFarlane? Yeah. No, seriously. You're absolutely right.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's not like McFarlane toys are like $50 a pop.
No, they're a little bit more expensive than your average toy.
True.
But they are like having the actual thing in your hand.
It's pretty amazing.
They're so badass. They're not even toys. They are just awesome pieces of art.
Todd is talking. Jake's talking, of course, about Todd McFarlane, the creator of Spawn.
Yeah.
And he has his own toy line. Comic book empire.
You've seen his stuff. He does all the super realistic like action figures and toys and stuff. And I saw an interview with him one time. I don't know if were we both watching it? I can't remember.
He was the guy who purchased the Barry Bonds 755 home run ball.
Really?
Yeah, he was in the news.
Make a toy out
for
of it.
All that. He's a huge baseball fan.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I saw some interview with him and the guy interviewing him was like, "You know why? Like, how did you come about and do this and, like, really corner the market with these great action figures?" He's like, "I didn't really do anything."
I just did something right.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what he said. He's like, everybody's asking me, like, how I made, you know, whatever, like, Jose Canseco's face on a action figure baseball player so accurate. Everybody's asking me that, and the entire time I'm asking everybody else, why haven't you?
Yeah, there's pictures everywhere. Like, there's no secret. You don't have to guess.
It's just all just general and random, but
it's really true. Like I remember used to have a bunch of figures and stuff way back when.
Oh, the Spawn stuff. I wasn't even that big into Spawn, but the action figures were so badass.
And I used to see them at your house, and I'm like, now you've ruined every other action figure for me.
Yeah,
pretty much.
You just went home and dumped all your other ones in the trash.
I took a shit on all of them in my backpack.
I guess I don't need you. Mint condition, boxed up Han Solo action figure signed by George Lucas.
No, Paul, we can work this out. Stop talking to me, action figure.
You're worthless.
You're weird.
Okay, back to the action figures.
Yeah, back to the turtles.
So we see
them.
What they are.
And first thing that strikes me is that they've kind of gone for they're all different species of turtles. All four of them are a different, like...
Got a different look to them.
Yeah, different look to them. So I think one's like a snapper turtle, and one is supposed to be like a. Anyway, they're all supposed to be different species of turtles, different shades of green.
Yeah,
as well, and different like sizes to them.
So starting with the leader here, Leonardo.
Got Leo.
He looks pretty cool.
Okay.
He's kind of got a little body armor ish stuff going on. You know, some boots kind of. Mm-hmm. I think it looks pretty solid.
Okay.
Michelangelo. I see, and I'm sure he comes with multiple accessories.
Sure.
I see in this picture he has a tri-chuck. How would you describe
that? Yeah, so it's not quite the nunchucks. There's a name for that. It's not nunchucks.
It's not tri-chuck, because I thought that was cool.
We can do that. We can call it that.
It's like...
it's the thermometer.
Instead of nunchucks, which is two pieces of wood attached by a chain, it's three pieces of wood attached by chains.
I don't know how that would be effective, to be quite honest.
It seems like it'd be extremely difficult.
Really difficult to wield.
I would just.
This is a mistake right here.
this is a mistake. And I cannot stand this.
Yeah.
They've given him a hoodie sweatshirt that he has tied around his waist.
Cowabunga, dude. He's such a surfer. Isn't that? Look at how surfer he is.
Oh, if I know any turtles, it's him. That's surf.
Yeah.
Is he wearing like spandex pants? What's going on there?
I can't really tell what those are. Let's see if I see him.
I mean, if you look at like Leonardo, he's like got green legs.
He looks like he's wearing like chaps. Like he's got some sort of like rawhide thing going on, like leather chaps.
Like are they like yoga pants? Like all the girls are wearing these days?
Look, it says Juicy on the back.
it's got a heart on his ass.
That's interesting.
On the Donatello,
He's a little like skinnier.
He's wearing some sort of snorkeling device. It looks like.
Well, you have trouble breathing sometimes.
Or when you're a turtle.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
Is that a snorkeling device or some sort of like camera?
It's like an eyepiece, I think.
Oh, it's like a night vision apparatus.
Yeah, like it's like a
Okay. And for some reason, he has some...
He's got a vacuum cleaner on his back.
He has some slightly samurai-looking armor.
Which, again, I can get. He's Donatello. He's kind of quirky with the gadgets, so that's his thing, right?
So his thing is to use old armor?
Well, he's got kind of the half-samurai around his waist thing. I don't know
that's
why.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, maybe he's Japanese.
Well, why does he invent some awesome new armor?
Well, he needs to wear something to cover his turtle junk.
Turtle dick?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think the biggest grievance here is they've completely butchered his bow. I think it looks...
Yeah, what is that?
It's supposed to be like an extendo bow. You know, you can tell?
Don't do that.
It looks really stupid. Like, he's going to, like... You know he's going to be like, shing!
Yeah,
he's gonna extend.
He's
out.
Gonna push a button, and
his bow is just badass, dude. With just the stick and then the tape wrapped around the center.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then we move on to what might be the biggest offense. I think
one of the most popular turtles,
Raphael.
If not the most popular turtle, Raphael.
And I don't get it.
I don't have so much of a problem with his outfit. So much as I do, like, he looks like he's taking a massive dump.
It does. His face looks rather constipated.
I don't understand that.
It's like
they did unto him what the other guy did to the Simpsons Lego characters.
Oh, God. Those are horrible.
Someone looked at this and said, this is a good idea. He looks like he's straining. He looks like he's really, like, passing. It's like he's pushing out a kidney stone.
Yeah, like Donatello's pretty lean. Michelangelo's more or less average. So is Leonardo.
Right.
And then Raphael, they went the little more chunky, muscular.
Well,
he's
supposed to be like a different type of turtle. Like he's supposed to be like.
Yeah, but what's with his outfit? He's got like all these bandages on. Like, why does he have all these bandanas wrapped around
him?
Maybe
he owns a cat.
Yes. I don't know why that would even apply.
Well, he's very feisty.
He has like a red cap on his head.
Basically. At least they got the colors right.
And then, like, red bandana and, like, red bandanas on his left side and white bandanas on his right side. What the fuck?
Because cool.
Because movie.
Yeah, right? It's like, gotta make it our own.
Anyways. I don't know.
There
I'm sure
go.
It'll be all right.
Maybe the sweatshirt plays into something in the film.
Oh, I bet it does. I bet it's got a great storyline. I can't wait for a spinoff.
The backstory.
Where they focus on the backstory of the hoodie.
That'd be nice. So you can go check these out yourself. I'm looking at cinemablend.com, and you can check them out yourself. Let's see here. Next up. Oh, you'll like this. You'll love this.
I'll be the judge of that.
I hope you haven't heard this, because I want to get your reaction. So X-Men, Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
We're heavy into the superhero news this week. We both know that Rogue has been cut completely from the film.
So sorry, Rogue.
Did you hear there's another character that is rumored to be completely cut out of the movie?
Completely cut. I hope it's Quicksilver.
It's Storm.
Oh, thank God.
Halle Berry.
Thank God.
Is rumored. There's a source very close to the film that's told this, again, cinemablend.com, that she only has one line in the entire movie.
And it's pay me more money.
And
I'm so famous.
And it's like, why isn't this movie more about me?
Seriously.
And they're not telling her whether they'll keep it or not until the movie comes out.
Wow.
Which I think is really interesting. I don't know why.
I think it's
why.
Kind of rude.
A little harsh. Yeah. Well, I think it's because they don't want to piss off Halle Berry. You want her bad-mouthing the movie up until the movie. Yeah, exactly.
So if you've listened to the show, you've probably heard Paul and I's great dislike for distaste for Halle Berry.
Well, she owes us money.
Well, she and she kicked my dog.
Yeah, and she's no-showed a couple of episodes of Cinema Recon. She showed up for a few, but she also no-showed a couple of
episodes. She's no-showed for 37 episodes.
Yeah. So we keep inviting her, and she keeps ignoring our calls.
Yeah, she's just when she started doing the X-Men, like the first one and the second one, she just got what do we know? But it seemed from the medias and the whatnots, she got extremely conceited about her role in.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Tucker feels very strongly about this too. Jake's dog just jumped up on the table as soon as we start mentioning the conceitedness of that Halle bitch. Berry.
She owes me money too. You guys talking about bitches?
I'm a dog.
dog joke.
Well, you have to understand, like, this is back in 2000, yeah. Right? And so this is when the superhero genre was really coming into its own. Jake and I, being superhero comic book fans, are real excited, like, to finally we're doing these movies correctly.
Right.
And we're seeing, and then you have Halle Berry, coming in, like, kind of poo-pooing on the possible success of a sequel because she wants more money.
Yeah.
And it's like, these movies haven't even gotten off the ground. Don't kill it yet.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not,
give it a chance, Halle.
You're not bigger than this. This isn't the Halle Berry men. This is the X-Men.
What if she tried to do her own spinoff?
Yeah, we should make Storm Men. And I've even read interviews with her where she admitted, well, I never really read anything about the character even after the first movie. This is like in the second movie. She's like, I still never read any of the comics, but I feel like the character really speaks to me. And
really?
Shut up.
You figured all that out from the 9 lines of dialogue you had?
Oh my God.
And the 0 research you did on your character?
Yeah. So basically, I don't know.
Basically,
I can't wait to not see her in X-Men Days of Future Past. So that'll be exciting.
Good for her. I hope she gets cut out completely and still gets her $10 million paycheck.
I hope they kill her off.
And then complains about it.
I hope they kill her off and then they revive her as like another actress, like altogether. Storm, you look different. Let's move on.
Let's keep going now.
Yeah. So there you go. Thought you'd like that. Next on the docket, as you say, Star Wars Episode 7 is looking at the 12 Years a Slave Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o as a starring role in the upcoming film.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Did you see 12 Years a Slave?
I've never seen Star Wars.
Damn it. All right. I thought maybe, okay, never mind. I think it's interesting she's getting like all this attention right now because I don't know. I thought
you weren't that impressed.
I thought she was good, but I thought there was another character, another female actress in the movie that was just as good, if not better.
Betty White?
No, I can't recall. I don't know. I can't recall her name, but I just feel like she's getting really, really quite a bit of attention ever since her
deserved.
A little bit. I think it's a little too much to me. I thought maybe I didn't realize. I put this on here. I thought you had already seen.
I hadn't. I'm slacking in my duties.
Nah, it's okay. I thought we could talk about her. I mean, she was good. Don't get me wrong. She's really good. Really, really good. You should watch it, by the way.
Brad, I will watch it.
Brad Pitt. Our boy Brad Pitt's in the movie.
Oh, I love BP.
yeah, you do. Oh, wait. BP. Got it. Okay. Never mind. And Michael Fassbender plays Michael Fassbender plays a really, really, really love to hate
really
slave
mean guy.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome in the movie, actually.
You
like it. It was a good time.
Speaking of bringing it full circle.
Yes, please.
Did you know he was in 300?
Michael Fassbender?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Fassbender? No, he wasn't.
Yes.
Who was he? Was he
he was like kind of
a queen?
He was kind of a...
Is he Xerxes?
A no-name-ish. Stelios.
King Leonidas.
No.
Stelios?
He was kind of just a random...
What?
Yeah.
Really?
It was like one of his like more major kind of
like breakout roles.
Breakout movies, yeah.
Like pay attention to me. I got this.
I've got abs.
He must. If he
must have.
He's the only guy with like fake abs. He had like one of those t-shirts on.
The bathing suit.
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah.
Fair enough. No, I did not know that.
And now you know.
And knowing's half the battle.
Ding.
Yeah, so there's Yeah, there's quite a bit going on. There's also the lead role for episode 7 is down to 5 actors.
Yes.
Are you familiar with this?
I thought it was down to 3.
Oh, maybe it's been narrowed since. But I had read 5 as of 2 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it could very well be down to less than that. So, Attack the Block star Jean Boyega.
Yeah. Both of us really like that movie.
Downton Abbey co-star Ed Spilliers.
Yeah.
Theater actors Matthew James Thomas and Ray Fisher are the latest names to be suggested by sources close to the production. And there's also the Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
You said, star of Breaking Bad. So who played Creepy Todd?
Creepy Todd.
And I can't see Creepy Todd in a main lead role. But maybe that's why he's being looked at, because what the fuck do I know?
Because they can get him for cheap. I mean, right?
He just plays Todd. That would be awesome.
I'm Todd from Breaking Bad.
He's like, I heard you guys are all big Breaking Bad fans. So, boom, I just shot your kid.
So I'm murdering children.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I like him. I don't really know too much about the other guys, but I know I like him.
Do you have any feelings one way or another about any of the other people?
No.
Attack the Block, John Boyega would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Love that movie. Okay. Well, that's your Star Wars.
That's such a great movie. Whatever happened to the remake, the American quote-unquote version they were going to make?
Luckily,
that?
It didn't happen.
Thank God.
I think it's just, you know, like we talked about with The Raid. You're going to remake a foreign film, just re-release the foreign film.
Or just...
Grow a pair.
Or just don't do anything, because...
Or just back off slowly.
Because the movie The Raid was actually released over here
in
America.
Oh, it's true. Well, it was. It came out. Yeah, well, if you want to make some money, advertise it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Stupid people.
Stupid people. Can't go a full show without talking about Terminator.
No.
So, did you read that more casting rumors? Terminator Genisys is in talks to add J.K. Simmons as an addition to the Terminator Genisys.
Yeah, I like him.
Everybody likes J.K. Simmons. He's the best. Defy you. Please show me someone who doesn't like J.K. Simmons.
Right now you want me to?
I will slap them. I will slap them close-handed. That means punch.
Show me and we'll go beat him up right now.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody.
Apparently, he's playing a weary and alcoholic detective who has been following the bizarre case of Sarah Connor since 1984.
So... Oh, I think I read something. Do we know what time period this will take place?
It's supposed to take place, like, in the 90s, I believe. Like, 5, 6, 7, 8 years after the first one.
So, I think I read something, and I'm going to try to piece it together, that it was, like, it'll be, like, jumping around
yes,
in times,
yes,
and it'll
that...
have kind of effects on everything.
Apparently, they're going to take a very... This is another rumor going around. Apparently, they're talking about taking a very Back to the Future style...
Right.
...approach to the term, which, I'll be honest, sounds pretty cool.
Sounds awesome.
They'll go back and reshoot scenes from... Which would explain having... Arnold Schwarzenegger in the film, because you'd be shooting scenes of, say, like, for instance, they gave an example in the article I read where John Connor and Arnold Schwarzenegger at a payphone calling his foster parents.
Right.
And your foster parents are dead.
Yeah.
Right? And you'd have that happening, and then behind the phone booth over here, you'd have other John Connor or Sarah Connor or new Terminator running around.
Right. Doing something.
Look, that's us, you know, kind of thing. Very much. And then you look in the other direction, you'd see Biff getting punched out
placing bets from the sports book.
Exactly. So that sounds pretty awesome.
I think it sounds awesome. Yeah. It opens up just a can of worms in terms of time travel story inconsistencies, but whatever.
True. But it's time travel. So, you know, you say if you make a time travel movie, fuck you. It's time travel.
This
we
works.
We can do whatever we want to. It works. We say
this works in real life.
Oh, yeah. Prove it. Prove it doesn't work. Like I said, until we develop time travel, we'll never know.
Exactly.
The last story I have on my list, rounded out with a big one, coming Captain America 2, Winter Soldier, is impending. When is that coming out?
I think in like
very soon.
A couple weeks.
Yeah, very soon.
I want to say the 4th.
So they're already saying, first of all, the buzz for it is already very positive.
Yeah.
They've screened it, and the several reviewers and journalists that have seen Captain America 2 took to Twitter and whatnot and pretty much, I mean, you get a lot of people, yeah, who may be glowing because they got into the premiere.
Obviously.
But you didn't really, but you got a lot of either great to amazing tweets about the film, talking about how it may be the best Marvel film to date. How it's just, the worst thing I heard about it was like, it might be a little long.
It's 136 minutes.
That's a little long.
That's a long movie.
It's a long movie. That's the only critique I read about it. And even then, the person that, that had tweeted that had said, but I still enjoyed my socks off or something.
I enjoyed my socks on.
Something to that extent. But with that, that all being said, so they've gone ahead and greenlighted Captain America 3.
Yep.
And Marvel has already stuck out their chest and said,
this is my chest.
This is my chest. And we are going to release Captain America 3 on the same weekend as Batman versus Superman.
Yep.
May 2016.
Yep.
Which one will you go see first?
You know what? I was thinking about this the other day. It doesn't matter. Because
I'll see him at the same time.
I will pay for two tickets and I'll go see one of them. It doesn't really matter. I think it's actually a win. I think it's a win for the studios.
Okay.
This day and age, it's like,
even though it's DC versus Marvel?
I don't think it matters. Because if you look at it from like the consumer standpoint, we're just all like fanboys, right? And we just all want to like, we're the geeks. And like, think about how awesome of a weekend that's going to be. Like, oh my God, it's Captain. Amazing.
Think about how awesome of a year 2015 is going to be.
Oh yeah, we talked about that a while ago. Like 2015 is going to be the year for movies. It's going to be awesome. But no, from like our standpoint, it's like, I mean, we'll go see both of them that weekend. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And so will probably 75% of hardcore like fanboy geek moviegoers will go see both of them.
I wouldn't
probably
doubt,
in the same day.
I wouldn't doubt if like theaters will start staggering these films. Like, so they're not lapping each other in a way that you could go see
two, one after the other.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it, dude, but I don't think it really matters. I mean,
oh, it matters.
I think most people are going to go see both of these movies.
Oh, definitely. Well, hopefully Captain America 2 is amazing as everyone says.
Yeah.
But apparently they have so much faith in it that they're just like, yep, Captain America 3.
That's where it's going.
Yep.
Right next to Batman, Superman.
Yeah. Screw you, Clark Kent.
Which, I don't know. I mean, Man of Steel definitely didn't have as much gusto as the Marvel Universe has. So they got a lot of work to do in terms of taking tickets away from Captain America 3.
I'll go ahead and say that I liked Man of Steel, but I'll agree with you. I don't think it is a Marvel movie.
No, it's nowhere near. It's nowhere near it. So in terms of that, Marvel's holding the tickets right now. That's why they're like, no, we're not going to move our release date. We're DC is nothing in the movie universe right now. They are literally nothing.
Suck it, Ben Affleck.
Suck it.
I like them apples.
I like that. Call your girlfriend Jennifer Lopez.
Welcome to Dated Recon.
Anyways.
There you go. And that's all the stories that I have to tell you today.
That's everything that's happened forever.
Pretty much everything I have to say.
Nice.
So that's a show. That is a show that we've wrapped up.
You can thank us later.
Yeah, or now. We'll wait.
Do it.
We'll be waiting a long time. So thanks again. Thanks for joining us. And we shall see you very soon.
Sounds good. We'll see you next time right here on Cinema Recon. The red vines.
Show me a boob.